and the world. From the surface of the planet Earth, we're headed to Jupiter orbit with Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. There's concern over Juno. Bob, what is Juno and what is the problem?
Juno is an orbiter around Jupiter. It's been in orbit now, I guess, about 4 years now. It's in orbit. Its main mission is to study the environment around Jupiter and maybe some of the interior structure of Jupiter based upon gravity and other data. But it's not designed to study the planet per se so much as the environment around the planet. Its magnetosphere, its magnetic field, its atmosphere, and how that affects the moons of Jupiter as well as Jupiter itself. But because they know it's really good public relations and it really helps to have visual images, they had a camera on Juno, and I've posted on Behind the Black many, many Juno images over the years, all of which are processed by citizen scientists. The science team of Juno doesn't do anything more than release the raw images. The camera is not their prime mission. But then citizens, some of whom are scientists themselves, then process those images and produce some really cool stuff, and I posted that. Well, it appears that on the last flyby a week ago, a close approach, there was a problem with Juno's camera. Its temperature rose so that it shut down during the flyby, and they only got about 40 out of 200 or so images they were supposed to get. And then now, the camera's working now, but the temperature had gone up for reasons they don't understand that stopped it from functioning during the flyby. And so now they're trying to figure out why that happened and whether or not it's going to work on the next flyby in March. Since this is not a prime instrument of the spacecraft, it's very possible that they won't put a lot of priority in getting this fixed. We'll have to stand by and wait, John.
We go to another NASA spacecraft, Janus. What is the mission, Bob, and what's happened?
Janus is actually two different probes. It was designed to be very low cost, designed to go to an asteroid, but to fly as a secondary payload on the Psyche mission to the asteroid Psyche. It wasn't going to go to Psyche, but Psyche's original plan launched last fall would have allowed Janus to go to its target satellites at a very low cost. When Psyche got delayed because they couldn't get their software ready on time, Janus lost its mission. It can't get to those asteroids it was designed for. And so the Janus probe is kind of stranded. It can't go when Psyche launches later this year because that's not going to go on a path that's going to get it to any asteroids it wants to go to. So they've been scrambling to try to find some mission for these totally workable probes that must launch as a secondary payload since they don't have the money for a prime payload. And what they're now looking at is the possibility of going to Apophis. Apophis is a potentially dangerous asteroid that's going to fly by the Earth in 2029. Later flybys have the chance of hitting the Earth. There are a lot of missions that are going to be studying Apophis in 2029, close flybys, or even stay with it, such as Osiris Rex might rendezvous with it after the flyby and stay with it for about a year studying it. And so the Janus scientists are saying, well, we could possibly send out two probes there if we can get a launch in 2028. And so that's what they're reviewing right now. There's one caveat to this. They're talking about going and rendezvousing with Apophis before it reaches the Earth. And the scientists have actually been discouraging such missions because they worry a probe arriving before the flyby of Earth in 29 could actually change the path so that Apophis might actually hit a keyhole that would have it hit the Earth in a later flyby. And so they've discouraged reaching Apophis before the rendezvous, but this is what Janus is now proposing. So we're going to have to wait and see what the scientists decide to do here, John.
To the surface of Mars, Perseverance, the extremely effective and successful rover right now, is choosing sites for pickup. What pickup, Bob? What is the mission in future?
Perseverance doesn't have the capability to analyze a lot of the core samples that it digs up with its drills. Instead, it was designed to drill core samples and then store them for later pickup for sample return mission to Earth. And so it has done 10 drill sites, and in each site it got two core samples. And so the plan is it dropped off 10 of those core samples at a location on the floor of Jezero crater, and it's now completed that drop-off. It is going to hold on to a duplicate set of core samples as it moves on and rolls up the delta in Jezero crater. But it's left behind at this location 10 core samples. And what the plan is that sometime in the future, no date yet, a mission is going to land in Jezero crater and a helicopter will fly to this location and pick up these core samples and fly them to an ascent vehicle, which will bring them back to Earth. That's the plan. And so these have now been placed. The locations are very tightly mapped so that the helicopters in the future will know exactly where they are and how to reach them. And so that's where we stand right now. The first set of core samples from return to Earth are now ready to go.
And Curiosity, the original very successful rover, Bob provides a glance over the shoulder. What am I looking at, Bob?
They do mosaics on a daily basis to know where they are and how to travel farther on. These are from the navigation cameras. But this most recent 360 panorama had a great view looking back at where Curiosity has come. And you can look out over the crater of Gale Crater, over the floor of Gale Crater. You cannot really see the floor of Gale Crater anymore. We're too high up, and there's too many hills in the way. But you can see where we've been. You can see 20 miles away, 20 to 40 miles away, the rim of the crater in the haze. And this just gives you an idea of what Mars is like. This alien, rocky, devoid of life terrain, John.
It looks like all those, what are they called, mesas out west, Bob? All those mesas are moving in
mesas.
Yeah, they're moving in one direction, away from us. It's, you know, if I had a science fiction novel to write, I would say that's the remains of an ancient civilization. What cloud on Mars? There's weather on Mars? You're a meteorologist? What have you
There's always weather on Mars. We've got an atmosphere. And periodically, the rovers look up at the sky and do sky surveys looking for clouds. And every once in a while, they find some interesting clouds. And so I posted one. Curiosity spotted a cloud this past weekend. And so I posted it. They look kind of like cirrus clouds, but they're not. They're actually what they call noctilucent clouds because they're ice crystals. They might be dry ice, it might be water ice at a very high altitude that are illuminated by sunlight. And so you see these every once in a while in the atmosphere of Mars, but this is not the only kind of clouds on Mars. But to see clouds on Mars looking at it from Earth is just, I think, so amazing.
That's water vapor, correct, Bob?
It's crystals. It could be ice, it could be dry ice. We don't know.
All right, glacier or taffy on Mars. Bob looks at images and he gets hungry. What have you found, Bob?
Yeah, well, this is actually terrain on Mars called taffy terrain. It's located in the basement of Mars, Hellas Basin, which is like its Death Valley. And they got a lot of very pulled taffy-like banded terrain that they don't really know what causes it. There is possibilities that it is glacial ice, but we don't know for sure. And the image was very cool, so I posted it on Behind the Black.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black when he's not staring at the clouds of Mars. I'm John Nash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
We all make choices. When it comes to alcohol, kids make choices whether to drink or not.
Bye, Dad.
Bye-bye.
Remember, I'm going to Alex's party tonight and sleeping over.
Hey, Em, have a seat for a second. Remind me about that party again.
Alex is just.
And adults make choices whether to talk about it. That's true of parents and every other trusted adult in a kid's life. Kids want to know our expectations when it comes to alcohol and other drugs. They want guidance and honest answers to their questions. And it makes a difference when the message is consistent and part of everyday conversations. So talk with your kids and help lead them on a positive path. Because when you talk, they hear you. For more information about talking with your kids about underage use of alcohol and other drugs, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.